Welcome to the Sensei Playbook, the ultimate how-to podcast for growing and amplifying your brand within the digital world's three-second landscape. Join Bill Courtwright and Chris Snellgrove as they discuss the right tools and strategies for building the best online marketing strategy for your business. Tune in to leading business leaders who share information and impart inspiration on providing smooth customer experience and successfully scaling your venture. This is your chance to achieve rapid growth in the highly competitive online market. Let's get this episode started with your hosts, Bill and Chris.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of the Sensei Playbook podcast, marketing strategy for the dealer world so that you can do less and hopefully relate to a whole lot more. We have an outstanding show in store for you this week, none other than Graham Kuhn, the founder and CEO of Focus Films here in Alpharetta, Georgia. He's going to be sharing all kinds of information, inspiration, and influence for anyone looking to excel on camera today. This is a good episode. We're going to be together for about 30 minutes. Stay tuned.
So, Graham, super excited to have you on the show today. Would love to get into the backstory on how you got into the storytelling. You know, we met a few years ago and you came in and I loved your process. I want to talk more about that. But first, let's begin by, what's your backstory?
I was working at my church doing video production and music. I actually went to college to be an opera singer. And so long story short, I ended up working in churches here. And then they found out that I could do like graphic design. I became the bulletin editor. And then from there, I said, you know, I can do videos, when they decided they wanted to move into video production. And so I did video production at my church for about 13 years and then started getting business outside of my job from people at the church. And then it just got to be too much to have a day job and do this part time. So I quit the day job and started my side hustle as my full-time employment. And so just got into, I went full-time in it a little over 4 years ago. So just fell into it. It was never a plan. I just happened to be really good at it. It aligned with my gifts.
So who were some of the mentors that you learned from on storytelling?
Two of the main guys were in this Facebook group that I joined when I was considering doing video production as a business. I didn't want to just be like every other videographer. So I joined this Facebook group that was more about providing value to business owners. It wasn't about what camera you use. It wasn't about your gear. It was about providing value and telling the story that's going to be impactful, that's going to get your client return on their investment. So it wasn't all about just pretty visuals and things like that. So the gentleman that started that Facebook group is Marcus Rideout. He's in Canada. He was a video production business owner. He's written books. He is a photographer. And then now he's gotten into more coaching, like life coaching, things like that. What's your ultimate goal in life? How much money do you really have to make to be happy? We're not all trying to work 100 hours a week and make $1 million. Like, we want joy and gratitude and all that. So took a lot from him. The book Story Brand for many of us marketing people has been very impactful in honing and how to be valuable to our clients. Those would be the two main mentors that have gotten me where I am.
I think that video is greatly underutilized in marketing. I think it's the most powerful way to market your business. Where do you see it expanding in future years?
Yeah, that's actually something that we would always talk about in one of those groups that I was in, is that video is the most powerful business tool there is. I mean, it just is. There's so many aspects to it that build know, like, and trust. It's just, it's all right there. The future of it, I think, is just going to continue the trend of user-generated content, which is, you don't have to hire me to shoot videos. I'm great at brand stories and things that maybe somebody can't do on their own, but things like TikTok and Instagram and just holding up your phone and telling stories about your business or doing things like that, user generated content, I think is definitely going to continue as a trend. And you've seen it over the last couple of years. It just gets better and better with people setting up. They got a tripod with their phone with the light and they've got a backdrop and all this, like things you wouldn't have seen 6-7 years ago. So it's not going anywhere. It's just going to get more and more prevalent.
I would agree with you. I love user-generated content, but I also think you need a mix of the professional quality mixed in, because especially on your website, like front and center, you need a professional video. Now, user-generated content is excellent for social media, but like on your website, you know, it should be a blend. You should begin with the professional.
Yeah, I always talk about like marketing assets versus content. Like marketing assets, like a brand video that you pay a professional to do, or even professional testimonials, like you said, things that are going to be on your website should definitely be a professional. But then content, that is not going to be evergreen and isn't probably going to sit there for years. It's going to be up for, they're going to see it today, tomorrow, maybe in a couple of weeks, and then it'll probably disappear. That's fine for do-it-yourself user-generated content for sure. But there's definitely a difference between marketing assets and content.
Makes sense.
I sounded really Graham, smart I think on that one.
You definitely did. I think we're all very good at consuming video content. But for some of us, as soon as we stare at the lens, they just don't flow as they would if we're just having a conversation one-to-one or even on Zoom. What do you tell your subject matter when they're looking at, they want to create user-generated content, they've got a compelling story to tell, they're interested in putting themselves out there, but there's just fear holding them back. How do you help them?
So I liken it to a relationship. When I met my wife, I've been married 12, 13 years now. When I met her, I wasn't myself. Like, we're never ourselves the first time we meet that person that we might be interested in. So you kind of put up a front, we're our best self, but we're not our totally authentic self. And it takes a long time in speaking to this person and hanging out with this person and spending time with them, and those walls start to come down, and then you start to really be your authentic self. It's the same thing with the camera, as weird as it is. Like, this is a relationship with me and this lens. And so the first time I did it, it's really awkward and I feel stupid because I'm looking at this little circle and I'm trying to be real. But after 50, 60, 70 times, it's just like, hey, I'm Graham Coon with Focus Films. And this weekend I did this. It's just natural. So it's a relationship that you have to build and you just got to keep doing it. And after a while, it just gets comfortable. I don't think there's any other easier way to do it than just doing it over and over and over and getting comfortable in that relationship.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. We're all going to suck at first. and there's a mantra within the marketing community.
Yep.
Embrace the suck. Just get out there and stumble for a while, because that's the only way you're going to find your footing. That's the only way you're going to find your voice. And finding your voice through this video medium is incredibly compelling. I think we've already said it. All three of us are believers that we all have a story to tell. And to the degree we can tell our story, it really attracts people to us, right? And it's that credibility plus relatability that equals the opportunity that video can deliver like no other substrate can. So we're all big fans. Chris has come up with an outstanding concept to help professionals leverage video to actually create voice in the marketplace and attract more customers. Chris, have you had a chance to talk about that with him?
Well, the newest service offering that we're offering is video testimonials. We're known for getting reviews. We're very good at generating written reviews, but now we want to be known as more testimonials, you know, not just about reviews, because video testimonials, we consider the gold standard of testimonials. So that's what we're moving into, is helping our clients train their teams on becoming better at getting them. The reason that companies, I feel, are not successful at getting video testimonials, they're hard to get. You need to train your team on making the customer feel comfortable. Your team needs to feel comfortable and ask, and the warming the customer up to the idea, not asking the customer to always perform. If I stick a camera on you and say, hey, you know, do a video testimonial of your experience, it scares most people. That's why we're interested in training our clients on some best practices on how to get these testimonials. So that's the next level that we're on.
Nice.
So, with that said, what are some best practices, Graham, because you do this for a living all day long, what are the best practices for making people feel comfortable on camera?
So first of all, I never shoot testimonials with my client looking in the camera, because like Bill just asked about is like how uncomfortable that is. So the easiest thing to do is that if you're interviewing me, I'm your customer, I'm going to give you a testimonial, is you're going to set the camera up over here, so that it looks like I'm looking off the camera. So I'm talking to Chris. Chris is asking me about my experience. I'm talking back to him. I'm not looking into the camera. So not only does that make the interviewee more comfortable, but from a psychology standpoint, is if I'm looking down the barrel of the camera and I'm talking, it just feels like a sales video. Whereas if I'm looking off, as crazy as this sounds, if I'm looking off and I'm talking to Chris like this, it's like you're peeking into like a secret conversation. And well, there's no way this guy would be lying. Like, he doesn't even know we're listening. He's being authentic and real and genuine, you know? So psychologically, it feels more genuine and authentic. And also the person being interviewed is way, way more comfortable because they're not having to look down the barrel. And then I shouldn't say never, but I don't typically say, all right, are you ready? We're going to start rolling 3, 2, 1. Now we're recording. I just start talking like about their kids or marriage or their job, or we just start shooting the breeze and I just hit record and we just start having this authentic conversation. I never say, all right, we're going to go, because then people tense up. So we'll be talking. I'll hit record, talking about their kids, talking about their friend. I'm like, all right, so you just bought a car here at Toyota South, et cetera, et cetera. What was the experience like? What were you looking for? And then we just kind of roll into it. And yeah, sometimes people will say, are we recording? And I'll be like, yeah, just keep going. But I feel like there's a hard start and you go, okay, we're going to start recording now. Okay. I press the button. Here we go. It's can make things tense. So I just try to have authentic, real conversation about nothing about the experience and a testimonial. It's just them talking. The more they talk about something they love, something they're comfortable about, their family, their job, the more comfortable they're going to be rolling into talking about the testimonial.
One tip that we've always reminded people when they're giving a testimonial is, hey, remember to smile and just act like you're talking to your kids. Because when people start giving a testimonial, sometimes they're so focused on trying to get the words right, they forget to smile and it doesn't come across as natural.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, just relax and have fun.
Right. And then I try to keep the questions very, very high level, not too detailed. Like basically the gist of it is, what was your life like before you found company X? What was it like working with company X? What is your life like now because you worked with them? Like those three major points. And then maybe we might get into the specific salesman they worked with or the specific part of the process they like. If they're very comfortable, I'll go into like, so what did you love about working with them, or how did you hear about them? But for sure, those three high level, what was life like? What did you enjoy about working with them? What is life like now because you had worked with them? If you can get those three things, that's a testimonial. And then anything else, more emotional, more anything deeper, is just a bonus. But I try to keep it very high level so people don't freak out trying to say the exact right thing.
Do you have an opinion, Graham, of how much personality or personal life, whether it be a family or hobbies, that entrepreneurs should be feathering into their user-generated content? Is there a strategy or a rule of thumb that you teach your
clients? No, I wouldn't say there's a rule of thumb, but I think the more personality, the more personal stories that you can tell, the more people are going to relate. There's going to be more trust. If you just sit there talking about your business all day long and the people you help and what your business does, it just gets boring, you know? But when you're talking about personal things, not only do people relate to it, but then it can be more storytelling. More, this weekend we went to wherever and I thought of this, and then you put that video on LinkedIn and people are like, oh, that happened to me too. That happened to me too, you know? So I don't know if there is a rule about how much personal versus whatever. I don't have one. I just think if it works, it works. And unfortunately, you never know if it's going to work or not. You might get 50 shares. You might get 2 likes. You never know. But I will say those vanity metrics also don't really matter, because those 2 likes, maybe people are that are going to hire you, where the 50 shares are just people that like you and aren't going to give you money. So don't get hung up on the vanity metrics of how many views, how many likes, how many shares, because it doesn't matter. What matters is who are the people that are doing that. That is a huge thing that I teach to the people that I mentor.
With people they like. And as much as I can respect Chris and you and the level of professional expertise you have in marketing or video, ultimately, I want to do business with someone I feel comfortable with. And sometimes it's the things that are completely ancillary to what you do professionally. Maybe it is what you do at your church, or maybe you like to play golf or tennis or pickleball or disc golf or whatever. And all of a sudden I feel an affinity towards you. And now I feel like, yes, I've never spoken with them before, but I'm much more apt to reach out because I feel like there's a level playing field.
Yeah. So I say the same thing. In fact, in my brand video for my company, I say I like to work people that I can go have a beer with. And so what that does is that not only if you're a beer drinker and somebody that likes that, we're going to relate. But if you're somebody that's highly offended by alcohol, we're probably not going to resonate. So it attracts like people and it helps deter people that may not be a good fit. Now, I'm not saying if you don't drink beer, I'm not going to be a good fit, but it's kind of a telltale sign. Like maybe it's not going to be fun to work together. Maybe I've got to tailor back my personality a little. Like there's just all these things behind just a simple statement like, I like to work with people I'd go have a beer with. If you get offended by that, we may not be a good fit. So I think it's very important to have people that you enjoy spending time with.
I'm definitely not hiring you. I'll only drink wine.
I already knew we weren't a good fit before we even got here.
No, I want to talk about when you came out a number of years ago and your process for when you did a brand story for me. Can you unpack that a little bit?
Because
I was very intrigued by your process that you used.
Once when somebody engages us to do a brand story video, which is basically the story behind the brand, hello, it's in the name, but it's taking basically the essence of the entire business and distilling it down to a 2 to 3 minute video. Who you are, why you do what you do, what you do, how you're different from your competitors. That's basically the template for all the brand stories. But the process to get to that is the very first thing is what I call the deep dive interview. So there's no cameras. Like most video companies are going to come in with cameras and audio and lights, and they're going to sit down and be like, hey, Chris, nice to meet you. And then they're going to start firing off questions, and they're going to start to try to learn about your business and try to learn about you, and they're just going to wing it for 30, 40 minutes. Whereas I add an additional step on the front end where I'm going to come and meet with you with a pen and a paper, and I'm going to ask you all these questions. We might spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I'm like, why are you in business? And you say, well, I wanted whatever for my life. I'm like, no, really, why? What drives you? Well, my family and things like that. And we dig deep into that, which I'm not going to do on camera. And we talk about all these things. I got 2, 3, 4 pages of notes from our off camera interview. This is really important is we'll wait like a week or at least 3, 4 days. Then we'll do the interview on camera, because if we do the deep dive first, then we set up the cameras and do it right after. The client's going to try to think, oh, what did I say? I just said it an hour ago. Oh, what? And they're going to try to say the perfect thing, and it's going to get robotic. You give it that 3, 4, 7 day win. They're going to vaguely remember what we talked about, so they have an idea of what we're going to talk about on camera. I, as the interview, know what I want to ask now, so I'll go and type up a whole thing of questions, put it in order so I can run the interview more concisely. And then we just have that same conversation, but this time there's cameras off to the side, and we're having the same conversation that we had a week before or 4 days before that. So everybody's more prepared. Everybody's more comfortable. It's way more authentic. And then from there, we edit it into who you are, why you do what you do, what it is that you do, how you're different, and then a call to action. That's the brand story video. And the idea is it should take your entire website and put it in a 2 minute video. So when somebody goes to your website, they don't have to click through 3, 4 pages to learn about the company. They watch this engaging, emotional 2 to 3 minute video, and they learn everything. And the point of it is to make you irresistible to work with. Is that once they watch that, they're like, I can't work with anybody else. I have to work with these people. So that's the process behind that. It's a little, I mean, there's an extra step in there, but it's so important to get to know the people that we're interviewing, to get the real story, to get it on camera.
I love the process. Awesome. I think it really telling someone's backstory of why they do what they do. People want to know that.
That's a big differentiator. If you're in a market or an industry that's really saturated, if you're a plumber, plumbers fix pipes at the end of the day. That's what they do. But what makes them different is this plumber over here has this story about what drives him and why he does what he does. Maybe his dad was a plumber, or his grandpa and his dad were plumbers, and he grew up in this business and he loves to help people. And that's his story. That makes him different than this plumber who also works with pipes, but this guy had a plumber come to the house and fix it, and it made his wife or his mom so happy, and he was so inspired by that that he became a plumber. And the different stories, the personalities, the authenticity, that's what separates you. Nobody can compete with you being you, and nobody's going to compete with your why. So that's what separates the competition. If you're talking about the what, plumber versus plumber, it's the same thing. But if you're talking about the why, it's the differentiator, you know?
I think that brand story for that plumber communicates that they care.
Yep.
Because if you know their why, you know that they care. And that's what people.
And then you trust them.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of it.
Nobody cares
that's
what
right.
we know.
That's why I love it, man. I love the storytelling. I love the learning people's story. I have had so many clients crying on camera talking about their why that I'm just like, oh, I love this. Like just learning their passion for whatever. Their family or helping their clients, or like a doctor telling me about a specific patient whose life they changed and they're crying about, like, oh my gosh, that's, it's the best, man. It's just the best.
It's cool. That's
fulfilling. Yeah. That's the good stuff.
I love it. Yeah. My goal is to always make them cry on camera. If we can get that, we're set. Chris, I couldn't get him to break, man. I tried.
Who's the ideal client for you?
I really like working with. Well, first of all, anybody that
beer, drinks
beer, we got that out of the way. Yeah, but like people like go have a beer. Cause in the best quote unquote sales meetings I've had is like, I've gone to meet a prospect at like Sideline Sports Bar. We have a couple beers. We talk about what we like. It's not a like, okay, what are your goals? What are you know, it's just casual and have a couple beers and hang out. I love that. But besides that, you got to be somebody that treats your customers well. I mean, at the end of the, much like you guys, that's what I learned from you, Chris, when we first met, when we were shooting a video together and I heard you talking about how company culture for your clients and they've got to treat their clients well, because for you, when you are having them do reviews, you got to get good reviews. And if you're not treating your customers well, you're not going to get good reviews, you know, so it's got to be people that treat their customers well. Second, people who I like people in industry, like factories, construction, those kind of industries, but also chiropractors and lawyers are great because there's a stigma attached to those professions, like, hey, so-and-so's an attorney. That conjures up an image in your head of somebody who's chasing ambulances or just greedy. You know, every lawyer that I've worked with is not like that at all. So you get that on video of that person telling their story and knocks down those walls of skepticism. So when you learn about that they're honest and they actually do care about their clients and it's not all about just the greedy money at the end of the day. Same thing with like chiropractors. There's a stigma attached to chiropractors that they're not real doctors or they quackery or like all this stuff. But when you meet with them and you learn their stories, first of all, every one of them is different. Every one of them has a different specialty. Every one of them helps different populations. And so it's all about knocking those down those walls of skepticism to tell their story, to build trust. So anybody construction-y, medical, lawyers are really, really great. I've had great success working with them and I really like working with them. But at the end of the day, you got to treat your customers well. If you don't treat your customers well, I don't care how much money you have or how much money you make. I don't want to work with them because I think my job is to amplify good companies. I think with my skills, I'm able to get the message out there and help a business grow and be seen. I don't want to do that for a bad company that I'd be embarrassed to put my name on. I want to amplify good companies because at the end of the day, as corny as it sounds, I want to change the world. I want the world to be a better place. I want good companies to rise to the top. I don't want shady ripoff artists to rise to the top. So I think my little corner of the world, I can make a difference doing that. And so that's why I want to amplify good companies.
Any favorite projects?
And the camera doesn't lie.
That's right. It doesn't. See all the gray? See all
sorry,
the gray?
Chris.
Yeah, Chris,
any favorite projects that come to mind?
Yeah, there was one I did about a year ago with a chiropractor in Roswell. She works with a very specific population, like kids with developmental issues, like ADHD and things like that. And it's amazing because she really digs into the neurology of the brain and things like that. It's not just going in and getting your back cracked. It's how does this connect to this and making them squirm in class or learning disabilities and things like that. And so shot 6 testimonials for her, interviewing the moms of the kids that she's helped. And it was just amazing because the whole theme that ran through all of them was how she was able to change their life, not just the kid's life, but change the life of the entire family. These moms are in tears talking about how, I remember one saying, we had tried everything. It really affected our family and our friends started to not invite us to things because of the way our child acted and things like that. And while she understood why that was happening, she felt completely hopeless. It was their third child, so they'd been through parenting before. And she's like, our friends are telling us tips and whatever, but that wasn't the issue. So long story short, when they found this doctor that could help them, it just changed their entire life. And like stories like that, man, I was so proud of that project that because of those testimonials, that message is going to get out there and we're going to help tons more families that feel completely hopeless and give them hope. Man, I teared up probably 10 times that day interviewing those people. It was just like one, because of what they were going through, but two, I was so freaking proud that I was able to be there and capture that story and help them to help other people. I'll remember that one forever.
Those are the ones that make it really powerful. Special, right?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
That was cool.
That is cool. Chris, any final thoughts or questions for Graham?
I always like to end with one that goes to the heart, and that is, what do you want to be known for?
Oh, are we talking legacy here? Jeez. You know what? I always preach joy and gratitude, and I know it's very simple, but I meet so many people that seem like they have no joy in their life, or they have no gratitude. They're not grateful for where they are. They compare themselves to other people. Comparison is the thief of joy, and that is no joke. You start worrying about the Joneses, you're not going to be happy. And I've always had this joyful attitude. I've always had this grateful attitude that for everything that I've ever gotten, I work hard. I've earned a lot of things, but I've not done any of it alone. I appreciate people that have helped me. I meet so many people who are like in jobs that they hate and things like that. It pains me. It hurts my heart when somebody's like in the rat race, grinding it out, going to the cubicle every day, and they just hate it. It's like, I want everybody to find their passion. I want everybody to find their joy. And just, we're here to live. We work to live. We don't live to work. And I wish everybody could just find that joy of life and just live life and find what they love. And I don't know how to do that, but that is my hope. And I hope that people see that in me, that I am just so grateful for anybody that's ever helped me get to where I am, because I'm filled with joy because my life kicks ass, and I don't take that lightly or take it for granted. I love my life, and I wish everyone could feel the way that I do when I wake up every day. Anytime I mentor somebody, I tell them that. I'm like, I wish everybody could feel the way that I do, because I'm so blessed, and but I don't take for granted that I've done this all myself. Like, I'm very grateful everybody that's helped me.
Well, you're blessed because of the gratitude. Trust me. That's the key.
Listen, on behalf of Reputation Sensei and everyone here at Digital Media Nation, Chris Snowgrove and myself, Bill Courtwright, we would like to express our sincere gratitude for Graham for being here this week. This has been an outstanding episode.
Thanks, guys.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. You guys are awesome.
That's all for this episode of the Sensei Playbook. May these strategies help you build a powerful business roadmap and dominate the online marketplace right now. Be sure not to miss another episode jam-packed with valuable advice from our marketing martial artists, Bill and Chris, by subscribing to the podcast at podcast.reputationsensei.com. Don't forget to share with your friends and fellow entrepreneurs who also aspire for massive business success. Thank you for listening. Until next time.